So many Mozzies out here. Hello, hey, do you have any Mozzie rep?
Hi.
That's how you know, that's how you can identify an Australian in the bunch. You just yell out in the group, hey, who's got Mozzie rep?
What's Mozzie rep?
Mosquito repellent.
Oh.
To Australians.
Right.
And then he's like, no, no mate, because they say mate.
Yeah. Good day.
Good day. And then he has some Vegemite.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
They don't say that. That's not a thing. In my experience, that was not a thing.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
I'm telling you, they do not speak like that. No, I know. Nobody says that. But I knew a man from Brussels.
Yes.
6 foot four and full of muscles.
That's good.
Hello and welcome to episode 188 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Adam.
I'll just sit and wait. Go ahead.
Adam, your dad's garage.
In the garage, still in Vancouver, Canada, both here.
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam? Just say summer.
Summer.
It is summer.
Yeah, life.
It is hot town, summer in the city.
Yes.
Yeah, back of my neck, getting bitten by mosquitoes. What are you, in Winnipeg?
Yeah, it's a lot of mosquitoes.
This is, I don't know what happened, but this is the year of the mosquito thus far. Not interesting. But what's going on in life?
Not much. Workshop. We're going to go to a workshop.
We're going to...
Together.
But the recording of this, the timeline is a bit skewed due to summer and whatnot.
But we're going to go to a workshop.
Tomorrow, no. When this comes out, we will have gone to a workshop 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Ish, 10 days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Something.
But for us, in real time,
yes,
which is weird because it's not going to get aired, we're going to a workshop in 2 days from now.
In 36 hours from now.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be attending one of Dwayne's workshops. I'm excited.
Dwayne Gervin. Yeah.
I didn't want to say it because I was going to say Gervan.
Yeah. DG Photo.
Yes, there you go. dgphoto.ca, I think.
Sure.
Check it out. But he's been on the show a couple times. Well, yeah, but I'm interested to go and see what goes on. I haven't met him yet in person.
Yeah.
So it's a big day for him.
Yeah.
And yeah, what is the workshop?
I'm not sure.
I heard pretty and gritty.
Yeah, pretty and gritty. I don't know what that means.
I assume it means I get all dirty.
Yeah.
That's what I assume.
Yeah, we're going to roll you around in mud.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking forward to that, and we'll take some pictures there. Maybe shoot some video. I'd like to shoot some video there.
I will not shoot video.
I was hoping you would, so the two hosers would have some sort of a hoser shooting pictures video.
How about you shoot video?
Of myself.
Of me shooting pictures.
Yeah, no, that'll happen. That part's going to happen. But the rest of it, yeah, you might have to shoot a couple of shots of me shooting video of you shooting video.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
Meta.
Amazon. You almost forgot.
Yeah, I didn't. I have it written down, but I did forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon. Please continue clicking through our site. Very, very helpful. Helps all of the, you know what it helps.
It helps stuff.
No, I was just trying to think of how to segue into more Adam Carolla news. Have you heard what's going on? You know how he's being sued by the patent trolls.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They gave up.
Oh, I listened today and nothing was official.
Right. It wasn't official, but he has publicly made the offer to, okay, forget it. Forget about the lawsuit. This is the patent troll.
The patent troll has made the offer to them.
To them to say, hey, you know what? Forget about it. We're all good here. However, Carolla said, no, we're doing this. We're going to continue. He's raised, I don't know what he's raised. Someone of the articles that said he raised close to $500,000.
Yeah, I think that's the ballpark, yeah.
And he's going to use that, and it sounds like all the listeners who gave the money are saying, no, go after this guy. Because what they want to do is actually not just have him stop. They want to invalidate the patent so that he can't go on and sue anybody else.
Right.
So he could say, no, you forget it. I messed with the wrong guy, which he clearly did. And then go on and he could sue the two hosers and probably get half a t-shirt out of the deal.
Right, yeah.
So that's what he's going to keep doing. He's going to go on and fight on and try to invalidate the patent entirely to make it the path clear for everybody down the way.
Very nice of him.
I'm impressed. Yeah. I got to tell you, it's no secret I'm a fan of the show and a fan of about 30% of what he says. I'm wickedly impressed by how this went, how he outsourced, sort of crowdfunded this and really went after this, because it's kind of a, I hate to say injustice, because it's way down the list of injustices, but it's not right what these guys were doing, and he went for it, so there you
okay.
go.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
But still, click through our site when you buy stuff from Amazon.
Yeah. No, I would rather spend my money.
Yeah. Another question for you. What's the t-shirt update?
No t-shirt update yet. Oh, okay. No, that's not true. We had one of our listeners. I forget his name. I'm sorry. I don't have it in front
Matt.
Of me.
Matt.
No, it wasn't Matt.
He sent a picture in.
Yes, in front of
a water source.
Well, it looked like a fake Niagara Falls.
Yeah, mini, to me. Mini falls.
Yeah. No. We were looking to figure out the best solution for U.S. distribution, which sounds cooler than it is.
Yeah.
But I thought I had something in mind, but one of our listeners...
U.S. distribution, by that you mean 11 t-shirts.
Yeah.
How to ship 11 t-shirts across the United States.
No, just to Idaho. Yeah. It's big following in Boise. No. We had something I had in mind, but then now one of our listeners, said he knows a guy who knows a guy,
right
behind the guy,
yeah,
who makes this happen. So we might go that route we're trying to find the best solution.
Yes.
So that is the.
It's important.
So not really an update, but an update on an update. Once again.
Great.
I got robbed the other day.
Not
this
by
is,
me.
This is. No. This is not photo related at all.
Great. Oh, let's run with it then.
Yeah, we're going to.
I can't stop this.
Well, it's because it was a nice moment.
I apologize to all the listeners for what's coming next.
Yeah, you can go ahead. No, I'm over my ranting. I got over my ranting phase pretty quick, and I won't tell the whole story because it is a little bit involved. There was some Sherlock Holmes moves on my part.
Great.
Yeah, it was kind of rare. It's hard to Sherlock Holmes crackheads, but.
So give us the nitty-gritty, not the pretty gritty, the nitty-gritty.
Right. The part that rubbed me the worst is it was a wonderful night out at Spanish Banks.
Right.
At one of my favorite places in
yep.
the whole world.
Yep.
Watched the sunset with my kids. We had a great time. The rest of my family was there. It was just really, really nice. And driving home with the kids, and it was really late. Now, my kids are little and very small, young kids. Way past their bedtime.
Okay.
But I'm the dad who before we even had kids, said, no, we're doing that. We're going to keep our kids out late every now and then and bring them home. And, they'll sleep in the car and daddy will carry them up to bed. You know, that kind of Norman Rockwell painting of parenthood. So that happens. I do that. I park out right in front of my dad's house, walk the kids in, take her upstairs.
They're asleep.
Put her to bed, come back out, and... I didn't find out till the next morning, but there was a, what's the nice word for him? Heroin junkie?
Yeah.
Heroin junkie, homeless dude squatting in the neighborhood. I didn't know this at the time, but had walked off with two of our bags. Stole my kid's diaper
bag. And you didn't realize it?
No, I didn't realize it at the time because I'd assumed my wife had brought the bag in.
Right, okay.
And she assumed I had brought it in. We didn't know this until the morning when we went to get the diaper bag. The diaper bag!
Yeah.
Who steals a diaper bag? You're the worst heroin junkie ever.
Yeah, was it filled with cash?
Well, there was my wife's wallet was in there. Okay. So there was, I don't know, $40 or something like that, and her German ID that she has to replace, and my Ray-Bans.
Oh, no.
Which that stung, and a whole bunch of other stuff, like little stuff that meant something.
Diapers.
Yeah. But we'd been to the beach. There's a lot of beach stuff. And so he grabbed that and a beach bag, which basically had my kids' sand toys.
Oh.
And both of my kids' bathing suits. Like, stupid stuff, but a pain to replace.
Right.
And kind of odd. I don't know what that nets on the open market, like a used kid's bathing suit.
$3.
Yeah, I bet you in certain circles it actually fetches a lot more. But anyways, it was just really not a good feeling.
Right.
But and then we sort of got a tip from the mailman about where to look. He said, hey, I saw a guy over here. So I went and actually went over there and I found the guy. He didn't have our stuff and I alerted the police.
So you just talked to him?
Something like
hey,
that.
Hey, do you got my stuff? But in
something.
A louder voice, more angry?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to allude to anything. It was something like that, but there was no physical stuff.
Were you dressed as Batman?
I'm always dressed as Batman. No, I there was no physical stuff. I don't want to imply that. It was more than just, hey, do you have my stuff? It was a little bit more than that, but there was no physical or nothing like that. There was no threatening or anything bad.
How did this come up with the mailman? Hey.
I asked the mailman.
Hey, you seeing any suspicious characters walking around here?
Pretty much.
And he said, yep.
Yep. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Well, that's what happens. Well, your mailman knows everything about the neighborhood.
Right.
So in the future, if you ever want to know what's up, ask the mailman.
Okay.
He pays. What else does he have to do? Deliver mail and pay attention to stuff. That's what
right.
he does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good gig. So anyway, so I tracked the guy down, but then we ended up letting him go because he, I'm not ready to the police, and he didn't have our stuff. And so we went to the house where he was.
Was he on heroin at the time?
I'm not a doctor, but yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was pretty strung out. And so he went on his way. He had a tricycle and one shoe. And so like a grown up tricycle, which I didn't know they made. And he was towing like a suitcase, like a wheelie suitcase he had duct taped to the seat as a trailer where he had all his other stuff that he had evidently stolen or found. So he went on his way, but he was staying at this house, this vacant house in our neighborhood, waiting to be torn down and rebuilt into one of these giant mansions, right? And so we ended up going over there, and I was going to go looking through the house for my stuff, but the pit bull inside said no.
Yeah.
So I skipped that, and I phoned the police and tipped them off, and they ended up catching them, and a whole bunch of other people got their stolen stuff back. We did not.
Great.
Our stuff was already gone. I guess that moves pretty quick.
Yeah, diaper bags.
Yeah, diaper bags.
German ID.
German ID, that's hard to come by. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah.
Long story short.
We still don't have our stuff.
Great.
So if you find my wife's German ID, give me a shout. We would like it.
So, hey, there's photo related.
It is.
Photo ID.
And my Ray-Bans. I kind of like my Ray-Bans.
Right.
But I can get more.
Okay.
So ultimately, there was that.
Okay.
So that was police experience one. And the police were very helpful. I want to point that out.
Okay.
Yeah, they were very helpful and doing their best for, you know, and hopefully maybe we'll get some stuff back, but I'm not holding out hope at this point. Like it's my kid's sippy bottle. So that they can keep that.
Okay.
At this point.
Yeah.
Don't need that anymore. And then cut to the next day, and I get pulled over for speeding. Two different stories. Nothing, not related.
Oh, okay. All
not
right.
related.
Okay, yeah.
And then,
is this one photo related?
Sure. Yeah, I took... No, not at all. This is just my week. This is the payback for all the confrontations I've been getting in.
Right.
So I get pulled over for speeding and managed to talk my way out of a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
My hero.
My wife was pretty thrilled.
Yeah.
She was impressed because that doesn't happen in Germany. You get pulled over.
They've already written the ticket by the time they pull you over.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah. And so there's that. So that's been my week. Unphoto related.
Awesome. Great. How about photo related?
Have you ever had anything stolen?
Yes. I had my car broken into.
What's that like? I've never had it.
Sucks.
Done.
Yeah. For me... It was a real pain in the butt because there was nothing in the car. This was maybe, let's say, 10 years ago.
Oh, when you live in Kits.
Yeah. And it was like the night before we were moving out of Kits, and our car is parked. And it's for those who don't know, an ultra-rich area, which also has a ton of homeless people living in it.
Yes.
And my car was parked in our parking, which was outside. And again, don't know who did it. The alley was kind of the homeless central patrol area. And someone threw something through my window, rifled through my change bin. There was nothing else in the car at all. And then I get a $300 deductible on replacing the window that they broke. So
yeah.
Good for me. They got nothing. So
even if they get something, this is the math of it all is... You know, I'm going to ballpark my replacement cost / values that were stolen, whatever, at around $500 is what we are out. he probably got between $10 and $20 on a resale on that stuff. That's what the cops told me. That's what the property crime guys told me. So 10 to 2, I would have given him $20 to not do it.
He could have made money on the deal.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you $30. $30 to not steal that stuff.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And so this is the economics of it all. So yeah, so even if he'd gotten something worth, say, $1,000, he probably would have got $50 for it, and you'd be out $300.
Well, at least he didn't have to break into your vehicle. Was it unlocked or something?
It was unlocked because, yeah, it was even open. I mean, so part of that is, I don't want to say it's on me because don't steal my stuff. And, you know, it wasn't like I just left it overnight. It was literally 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Literally, it was probably 10 minutes. Figuratively, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah. The best thing about the story is you're kind of the super paranoid guy that leaving the door open really seems out of character. Like, that seems, you're kind of, you and my mom, you fit in the classification of the super paranoid guy that wouldn't typically leave the door open, worried about the thieves getting into the car. And the 5 minutes where that car door's open, the thieves got into the car.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that just makes all of your paranoia, like, basically validated.
In some respect. On the flip side, it's like, yeah, lightning can't strike twice. So I'm good now. I can leave cash fanned out on the dashboard. It doesn't matter at this point. So
law of averages.
Yeah. So I'm good like that. So there you go. Other stuff involved.
Photos? This week. Photo stuff?
Fireworks. Yeah. I went to the fireworks last
night. Okay, this is photos.
This is for, I promise, I wouldn't bring it up otherwise.
Can't wait to hear about photos.
Well, this will be really quick.
And then we can get back to other stories.
And I have other rants.
Photos.
No, I went to the fireworks last night. You know the fireworks they have like three nights a year here in Vancouver.
Symphony of Fire or something.
Used to be
like
called that.
That.
It's called something else now.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
They like fireworks.
They blow music. Stuff up. There's exactly. I don't even care. I don't even care about the fireworks. I just like going down with, like, I don't know what it is, somewhere between 40,000 and 2.5 million people converge on all the beaches around Vancouver on English Bay. And it's a pretty awesome sight.
Absolutely.
It's a great experience. It's actually, you know, the whole collective experience of it all with music playing. And, like, there's musicians and stuff in the street, and they shut all the streets down so pedestrians can walk. And
so people can sell stuff to your kids that glows?
She's so far was not interested in that.
Oh,
next year will be the year, I'm sure. So anyway, so we're down there, and then a friend of ours lives down there in an apartment building, and like to go on top of her building, the 27th floor, and you can go on the top of the balcony, like the whole top of the building is a balcony.
Okay.
And you can look out and watch the fireworks. So I took the kid up there, and she got through exactly one firework, started crying her head off, and then we had to go down to the apartment and hide in the bathroom until it was over. So that was, I took a photo of that though.
Yeah. Great.
Here we are enjoying the fireworks.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what it was. But before I left, there was a guy standing right in front of me who decided he was going to bring his DSLR, just 70-200.
Yeah.
And he's going to photograph the fireworks.
Right.
But so anyways, and the tripod and all that stuff. And so I didn't get a chance to watch him, but I found out later, like, my sister stayed up there and watched the fireworks and reported back that he'd probably taken between 500 and 1,000 photos.
Wow.
Of nothing.
Yeah, of fireworks.
This is what I get. People, I like to say, hey, you know, how do you photograph fireworks? And my question always is, why do you photograph fireworks?
Yeah.
What possible use would you have for that photo?
Yeah, the only photograph I could sort of understand in that scenario is if you're at Disneyland with your kids in front of the castle and the fireworks are going off behind them and you manage to capture that whole scene with kids plus castle plus fireworks, then it's kind of, to me, that would be a cool where we were photo. But the fireworks on their own,
right?
Absolutely nonsense to me.
Now, a nice wide shot of all of English Bay with
people, if you could get that.
But where we were sitting,
you're just shooting the sky.
But we are one building behind, so there's a building in front blocking that view. All you can see is basically above the beach. You can see fireworks. You can see wonderfully.
Yeah.
But against a nondescript sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the part I don't get. If you want to go shoot that rest in context, I would actually love that photo. I want to see those photos. They're probably all over Flickr right now.
Yeah.
But this guy, not so much. So,
boo.
Boo to that guy.
Photo you don't need. That guy's photos. 500 of them.
500 of them. You need to sift through 500 of nothing.
But here's the other thing. Maybe he just listened to episode 68 of the Two Hosers Photo Show, and he was just trying out some long exposure techniques, and it was for a learning experience. If he was doing it for that, then okay. If he was doing it to print and put on his wall, then definitely boo.
Could you imagine going over to the guy's house, though?
Well,
just
got
as a
cardboard
guest.
Cutouts of you on his patio or something.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you show up at someone's house for a dinner party and you see just a whole bunch of pictures of random fireworks on the wall.
Be weird.
Yeah. Hey, Tad, what's that?
I just thought of a new item that we should be selling at our e-store, and that's cardboard cutouts of you.
Yes. Life size. 5'1". Yeah. That's what they should be. I don't know. I don't know. The shipping on that would be ludicrous.
Yeah.
Way too expensive. Now, to get to the part of the show that's about photos.
Oh, I didn't even know this was a photography podcast.
You thought we were doing the Christmas episode. That's a wasp coming to sting your head.
Oh, that would be
Oh, no,
awkward.
We punched them. Don't freak out, Adam.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, goodness. I'm up. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
All right. Should we just keep rolling?
I'm out.
Well, get them.
I'm out.
Are you allergic to those?
I don't know yet.
All right. Well, we're probably going to cut there because Adam has left the building. Not like Elvis was triumphantly gone out. He ran out of here like my daughter. There, it's gone. I flew away. All I right. promise you.
I'm back.
Okay. Wow, the great outdoors, buddy.
Yeah. Photography. So,
did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
That's not true.
No, I didn't.
You're rattled now because of a wasp.
No, I'm just trying to make up for the 25 minutes that you just spent talking about your police encounters. So I'm just going to say no. Moving on.
I gave you the short version
of
that story.
Yeah, the long version would have
really stung. Real estate portraits.
Well, do I get to say anything?
You said no.
I would change my mind.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
No. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to just abandon the show now?
No, I did, but we'll get to it in the photo challenge.
Okay.
So I don't need to talk about it yet.
You're saving it.
Saving it
Good.
Up.
I shot some real estate headshots.
Okay, you borrowed my background and stand and stuff.
I did.
So how did that work
out? It came in handy. It came in very handy. I'm glad I had it because we had a whole location set to go shoot outdoors because the weather here has been beautiful. Not that day. That day it poured rain. So that was our backup plan, was to shoot white background inside.
Okay.
So we ended up doing that. But we ended up, before that, I just... Where we shot was they had a wonderfully large picture window on the south side of the building. Normally, I like the north facing window light, but since it was so overcast, the south side were great. So we had wonderful window light. So I just used that 85mm on the 5D.
And just the white background kind of becomes gray.
Not even that. No, I just shot right into the room.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even use the white background for those ones. I ended up lighting the white background afterwards. Like, so we shot all those first into the room and just put it all out of focus. So you get nice colors, like a nice mishmash of colors, out of, you know, really super, super, you know, bokeh. And then when we were done that, just turned around and put the white background in front of the window and lit it up white and shot all those. And then we shot around outside. Once the rain stopped, we went outside in the park and shot around. But basically, I found the challenge, and maybe we should talk about these sorts of headshots one day, is to make them interesting and unique without reinventing the wheel. Because they are professional business headshots. You can only go so far creatively before it sort of takes away from their business.
Yeah. But have you looked at a lot of people's professional business headshots?
Like real estate agents?
Yeah, just anybody's.
Most of them are terrible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Like in the paper, that is a good example. Like a lot of them, they'll post them in the paper.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, no, they're horrible.
Yes. Yeah, no, but that's the thing is I wanted these to obviously be solid.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, and basically invisible in terms of style. Like you don't want it to go, oh, wow, I like what he did with that backlight. You know, you want to buy a house from this guy. You just don't want him to have like a terrible photo. Like, oh, there he is with his, you know, petting an alligator, which is great if you're moving units in the Florida Keys. But up here in Vancouver, not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that is the other thing. So we didn't use any props whatsoever.
Okay.
That's what we did.
Are you going to show any of those, or you can't show those?
I'll show them when I'm done. Yeah, he'll have no problem with those. It was him and his team. It was like four people. It's like to shoot around all four people on the team and try to make them all look sort of similar and similar style, that kind of thing, which with the white background is easy to do. And then, as I mentioned, I went to Spanish Banks again.
Okay.
Again.
I saw some of those photos.
Got to double down on this, on telling people if you want to shoot photos, go there or somewhere like there.
And go before sunset.
Go before so you can shoot in and through sunset.
Right.
Because it is cheating. Like, the pictures are essentially snapshots. I took my 85 mil on my 40D.
Okay.
Because I knew the kind of pictures I wanted to get were just going to be in tight. I wasn't going to shoot a lot of wide stuff that night because I'd been there last week, right? And so I took that specifically to get a couple of shots in that I had in mind. And really, no lighting at all, just the sun, the setting sun. And it was shooting fish in a barrel. I don't know who shoots fish in a barrel.
Yeah, I don't.
Fish barrel shooters.
Yeah.
That's who does. But it was so easy that you look at it and think, wow, like, I can't believe it was this easy. So if I was to do like engagement photos or something like that, I would bring the couple there at that time of night. And again, it'd be like, I can't believe you're paying me for this. Now, you do get paid because you know where to go and when to go and all that stuff. There is a lot involved, but do it. That's all I'm saying is go down there. Do it.
Okay.
And then after the sun sets, you get this wonderful kind of blue light that, if you're shooting with a prime lens, makes for really good headshots. Speaking of headshots. So, I actually changed my... I finally updated my own profile photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With that we shot once the sun went down.
Can't wait to see it.
I'll post that one, too. Everyone's on pins and or needles.
Okay.
So, there you go. That was my week. Photo challenge.
Yes.
This is where you're going to shine, buddy.
Yes.
Because this is what you said. You did your interesting stuff this week.
Yes.
Okay. What was the photo challenge?
You issued it. I don't remember.
Pretty sure you issued it.
No, you did.
The Great Outdoors.
Because you were going camping and, again, trying to set yourself up. Big surprise.
I'm going to have to listen back. I thought it was you.
No, it was you.
I'm not listening back anyway because I'm sort of claiming it's you.
Yeah.
I have nothing to gain by listening back. Nothing to gain.
Except if you're right.
No, even then, I don't think. I think it's better to just think that I'm right.
Right.
Than to be right.
Okay.
Yeah, we call that politics. Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
I did go camping. That was one of the reasons.
Yeah, that you made the challenge.
Right. But I like camping.
Right.
So
tell us about your photo.
So we'll start with mine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just because this is, we'll just call this episode All About Al.
Yeah. Most of them are.
We'll have a picture of you in a cop car, like cuffed or something.
Like, super bad. Me and Seth Rogen. here's my photo. That's it. Outdoors. Boom.
Nice.
At the lake.
I like it.
I also like it.
Yeah, it's nice.
So you tell us what's going on here.
That is a mutual friend of ours who is having his daughter jump from the dock, and he is reaching out to catch her.
Well, you could describe it as a completely objective kind of guy. So yes, it is a mutual friend of ours, but it's a guy. It's a dad.
Yeah.
It's a dad catching his kid.
Okay.
And then we got other kids out here on the dock laying down, warming up.
Oh, I didn't even see, yeah. I didn't even
that's,
see
that's,
that.
That's part of it. That's what we call, like, once on your third or fourth viewing, you pick that up.
Oh, yeah. There's just nuggets waiting to come out of this picture.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a
sure.
treasure chest of little nuggets.
Yeah. And so then over here in the back, we have another beach across the lake.
Yeah.
And then another little bit of beach area. So this is Alice Lake up in up towards Whistler.
Okay,
that's where this was taken.
What time of day are we talking for this?
Not my favorite time of day. This was taken right at noon o'clock, which I mean, give or take half an hour. But I'm going to say give. It's 12:30 probably.
Okay.
Either way, not a great time of day. So that, you know, exposure wise, I'm just trying to make sure I keep all the highlights. manage to expose for them properly, but get some nice blues in the lake and in the sky. So that's how I ended up doing that. Went camping, only took the 40D and the 30mm lens. Didn't take anything else. Basically wanted to be able to just fit the camera under the seat of the car, because I didn't want to have to deal with it. Because you've been camping with two little kids before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you already have plenty to deal with.
Yes.
Without taking pictures of it. So that was my thinking there. So that's what this is. And I knew this was going to happen. But, went out on the dock with them and basically focused on him. Got enough depth of field that we'd be able to see a lot of what's going on in the background. This is probably F8 or 11. And made sure I had a fast enough shutter speed, and then fired away on burst mode.
Great.
So this is actually a series of photos, but this is my favorite one because of her position,
her
in
legs,
the water.
And all that. Yeah. That's what does it for me too.
Yeah. So it's a nice little moment. Ideally, I'd have liked to have seen a little more of her face.
Yeah.
But
she had a little more side profile like he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of a mysterious being. Majestic creature.
Yes, just flying into the lake.
Yeah.
But no, that was not possible just due to the angle. Like, she couldn't have jumped this way, like towards the camera anymore, because it was too shallow.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't have gone out there because I would have sank in the water.
Yeah, no good. It's nice colors. I like it.
Moving on. And it
Yay!
Is outdoors. And it is outdoors.
Yay.
So which one are we doing here?
Let's do this one.
Okay.
So this is a friend of mine who I went to high school and university with, wife of a really good friend of mine who was in my wedding party, and I was in his wedding party. And so they were visiting from Toronto. And the funny bit was, I have not seen these friends since my wedding. So
I was there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them since your wedding.
No, you haven't seen them either, probably. So they're in town, and I went and met them, and we did some socializing, and then I said, hey, let's go down to the beach. So let's go down to Kitts Beach. They're staying in downtown Vancouver, and I met them downtown. I said, let's go down to Kitts Beach. I'm going to take a picture of you guys, maybe an individual of each of you guys. Something that you can put up in your house and say, hey, Adam took that picture, when people ask you. And so it took a series of photos, different stuff, some, like you say, individuals, some together. And then they were with another couple, and I took some pictures of them. So my wife was with me, and I kind of, like, they don't know me 9 years ago as photography guy, because I wasn't the last time that they saw me. So I kind of, you know, thought, hey, we'll do a little bit of a production for them. So my wife was with me, and we had this is again, I want to say 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Yes, it
and
is.
I want to shoot the city as the background, and we're in Kitts, so you can see on the subject's right side of her face. Like, this is the angle I want from where we are on the beach, but the sun is hard and high on her side of her face. So if I want to do what you did, I can aim her and have nothing but the water in the back room. Uh-huh. And I don't want that. I want the city skyline shot. And so at this time of day, basically, there's no other way but light. And so I wanted to make this not look fake. I think I showed, I don't know if we talked about it, but I showed a high-speed sync photo that I had done with you, or I gave it to you with your kid. And when you saturate the background, it looks fake. And so I didn't want that. So I kind of went with, how am I going to balance this light so that I get the background, the exposure, but that hopefully nobody can tell that it's a flash lit picture. So anyways, so I kind of went with sort of a halfway in the middle. I wanted the greens. I didn't want to have the sand and the ground and the rocks. I didn't want to blow out those highlights. But at the same time, I knew I probably wasn't going to be able to keep the dark blue sky. And so I kind of went halfway in the middle. And then I used a high-speed sync flash in our softbox, super close range, to fill in some of the shadows on the dark side of her face, combined with a bounce, like a reflector, to a silver reflector, to bounce some light on her face, again on that side that's so dark. And I even had another smaller light, because again of the softbox, I had another flash that was kind of aimed towards her waist down, in order to try to again keep all the lighting pretty even on the dark side of her body. Mm-hmm. And so three different light sources on that side, because of how sunny it was and how clear it was. This is what we wound up with. And Yeah, go ahead. Give me your feedback.
It's fine. It's very clear that it was noon. I know where you shot this.
Yeah.
I know why you shot this. Exactly why you say, because you want that city in the background. I mean, that really is a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
And your friends weren't hanging around till sunset.
No.
No. So you are, and she's not doing you any favors by wearing a black t-shirt. You know, that's a lot to fill in too. Like you're really stuck there. I mean, so I think you did a really good job considering.
Yeah.
Considering this is a very, very, it's so impossible that if you don't have to shoot this photo, you don't shoot it.
Right.
But I know you had no other choice. And so that regard, I don't want to be too tough on it because I take all that into consideration. And this is a nice shot, you know, with the city and the beach and all that stuff. I'm guessing low tide as well.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where you are because this isn't beach. This is more like the gravel.
I've kind of walked past this main strip of Kitts Beach and then ducked down. There's an area just beside that where I didn't want a whole bunch of people in the background. So that's kind of where we did it. And I just liked the spot. I liked the angle at the city. And I took some where I angled it a little bit more towards the water, and I didn't need as much flash to do that, but I really wanted the skyline shot. And then, I mean, let's just mention it because we're already here. There's another shot a little tighter of same girl, just kind of shot as sort of a head and shoulder shot. And again, very similar exposure, just shot tighter. And again, this was 85 millimeter. I just did a little bit more filling in the shadows from this side. But again, I like how the photo looks. I also liked it in black and white. I think that, again, shooting this shot at this time of day, I agree, is not ideal. But considering, I should have also posted what it looks like in the shade because I moved them across to the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And shot some photos in the shade just because it didn't need any light for that, and the background completely blows to white,
right?
Like it's that just that bright, so you can't have it all. Yeah.
The weather has been so good lately, and actually very, very clear. So when we say no clouds in the sky, absolutely no clouds in the sky, nothing. So you can't even wait for maybe we'll go behind that cloud for a couple minutes and we'll grab something where it's flat. It is horrible. Horrible light in the middle of the day, and so like you say, when we get in the shade, you're looking at 8 stops difference.
Yeah,
you know, if you finding open shade with an interesting background is very difficult to do.
And then keeping that interesting background, or you're saying the background is all in shade,
right?
Too, yeah,
and even then, now what you end up you lose the context. And so part of this shot, obviously, you didn't want to take good headshots of them. You wanted to take good headshots of them in Vancouver.
Right.
Hey, yeah. Here I am in Vancouver.
That was the point. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a tall order unless they want to meet you at Spanish Banks at sunset.
Right.
Then you're good.
And I think for them, like, they don't have any photos like this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So they see these photos and they're wildly thrilled with what you're able to get and how we were able to get it. So I think for them, the whole experience was certainly a positive one. And again, I look at that photo and I mean, yeah, it's one of those photos that if that was of me or my wife, and I was in a city that again, I wanted to remember that, I would frame that, I would put that up. So again, that's me. And it's also the context of for me, I have 1,000 photos of my wife, and probably she'd be more picky now to what she would put in frame.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you don't have a lot of really good photos of yourself, I think this is to them would be a worthwhile putting it up.
Absolutely.
And I have a couple of them as a couple, and really, those photos I think are the ones they'd probably put up, not the individuals. I just thought that I would use these because as soon as you start to include more people, there's again even more involved in the lighting. So I just wanted to keep it simple here for the photo challenge.
Oh, and plus you end up seeing more of the background because you have to keep stop down to keep everybody in focus. Now all of a sudden that the city shows up. It's like I say, she's probably putting the close up on her wall. What you think?
Yeah, I think she'd probably put the close-up rather than the other shot. I just never do photos, full-length photos, and so I kind of wanted to use that just because it's something I don't typically do, and I kind of just like the pose. And
composition-wise, I like the full one better.
Yeah.
And you're right, I'm the same. I tend to shoot in close. I don't often do full-body shots. I like this one specifically because we have foreground, middle ground, background. Like the background fades into out of focus.
Right.
Fades out of focus. Versus this one is pretty much out of focus.
Yeah, right.
Now there's
right,
a little yeah. bit. The rocks on the bottom right hand side are a little bit more in focus than the background, of course. But you know, like this. I'm not saying it is. It could be photoshopped.
Right.
You know, into some fake background, whereas this looks more realistic.
Right.
So, I do like that. But I win.
No, sure. You can have this one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Every time I win, each week, it's been a while.
Well, because it's kind of, yeah, usually yeah. it's a few weeks in between.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes months in between.
This week's topic. Let's move on to that.
How the RCMP were good to you this week.
Cops get a bad rap, man.
Yeah.
They do. And I
is that really the topic?
No, it's not the topic. That's not the topic at all. It was all photo related.
Oh, okay.
It's all about you, in fact.
Oh, hey, it's all about me. We've got 3 minutes left in the show.
Yeah. So quickly run down what's important to you. I'm going to get a coffee.
Yeah.
No. This we're going to talk about. I don't even know what to call.
I think I sprained my neck nodding for the last 45 minutes to everything you were talking about.
Yeah. No, I don't even know what to call this. And what's in Adam's carry-on luggage? That's what this one's going to be.
Great.
Because you will tell you're going to a destination wedding.
Yeah, by the time this airs, I'll be back.
But it's a destination for you, not for the wedding.
It's a destination of Toronto.
Toronto.
But I think the wedding is actually in Kitchener.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so it's about an hour and a half from Toronto.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to Toronto.
Okay, great. No one cares about the Toronto part.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you can get a direct flight from Vancouver to Kitchener.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned, I'm going to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's in Toronto. Before we head to Kitchener, I'm going to hit the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I've been.
Since it's all updated and interactive, because I went when I was a kid and it wasn't that good.
I went, I don't know, within the last 6 years.
Okay, I think it was probably the interactive version. Yeah,
I don't really know.
There's a mosquito.
Not anymore.
So, yeah, so I'm going there to shoot my cousin's wedding.
Okay. He's getting married at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
No, he's getting married in Kitchener.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the Hockey Hall of Fame was in Kitchener.
It's not. It's in Toronto.
We got mosquitoes. Get them. Did you get them?
I don't think so. He's over there.
No, he's gone now.
So, yeah, so the topic of this episode you've so aptly named.
I want to know what, like, because you're going to the wedding. You're going as a guest. But not really. You're going as a guest plus.
I'm going as a guest who is doing all of the photography.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a guest at all.
Yeah, it is a guest. It's like, come as a guest, and again, kind of on me, because I did the engagement photos for my cousin once upon a time. Remember mm-hmm. the whole comic thing that got ripped off by the guy in Hungary who cheated me and I should be making millions of dollars, but I'm not.
Yeah, I haven't eaten goulash since.
Yeah.
So, just out of protest.
So I did engagement photos and they turned out really well. They are happy. And I knew really wanted me to do it, but kind of were a little bit shy to ask. And then I just said, if you guys would like, I will shoot your wedding. And of course they would like it, so I'm going to do it. It's going to be my wedding present to them, so I'm not asking for money. This is all by donating my services to the cause. That's what this is.
Hey, isn't buying 4 plane tickets to Toronto your wedding present?
Yeah, it doesn't quite work like that. But I'm gonna do the photography, and then he kind of gave me an itinerary for the schedule, and there's a lot of photography involved. So.
Well, now there is, yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll there wasn't.
Yeah. It was just gonna be a few snapshots of the ceremony. No, but no, it should be interesting because I did a wedding, I don't know, 6 months ago. For a coworker, and I think we posted some of those pictures way back when.
The old car.
It was a good experience. I enjoyed it. So now this is round two. This one, a little more involved because there will be photos of the bride getting ready ahead of time. They're all doing it where we're staying at the hotel, so it'll be some of that, and then it'll be the ceremony, and then it'll be, you know, the bridal party. They have a courtyard. They've sent me pictures. It looks very nice. A courtyard to do some photos after the wedding, and then I think, a couple of big group family photos.
You'll have 20 minutes at noon.
No, it's about, I've seen the itinerary, it's about 4 to 5 o'clock mm-hmm. or 5 to 6 o'clock that I'm going to have to, no, 5 to 6 o'clock that I'm going to be in the evening, early evening, doing those photos. And it looks like the location they've got, it will have some shade with really neat stone walls. So I'm hoping I'm going to get some really good photos there. And then, of course, probably at the party. Once I get to the party part, that's where I'm more or less shutting it down. I'll probably take a first dance photo, maybe a cake cut photo, and probably be done with it at that point. Like I'm really gonna just be a guest once it gets to the party part.
You could consider War Mosquitoes.
Got him.
For our listeners at home, pinging you a word picture.
Yeah.
Adam got the mozzie.
Yeah.
You could consider setting up some flashes, assuming you're gonna bring those, and we're gonna hear about that in a second. To a strobe, and if any guests have a DSLR, I would say, hey, here's my remote, go crazy on the dance floor. Don't take the flashes will just be on the wall. Just run with it. Here, just walk around and shoot and see what you get, and use my flashes. You don't touch them. They might get a lot of interesting shots out of it. They might get nothing, but by that point, you know, you're deep into the Crown Royal. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't think I will do that only because, A, I'm not going to bring light stands. Okay. So that's not coming.
Okay.
And B, I don't want to have to worry about those flashes. And again, without light stands, I'm not sure where they're going to go, how I'm going to mount them anywhere. Again, just seems like a recipe for wrecking some of my prized possessions.
I think the worst case would be, what I would do is I would not bring the light stands either. I would bring duct tape and duct tape them up somewhere. Put them all, two of your SB28s on, 1/32 power on full spot and just rake them across the dance floor and just duct tape them up on the wall or speaker, like somewhere where you can find out of the way so that no one can even reach them. And then basically the worst case is that someone might break your trigger. That, because you're going to hand that around and say, mm-hmm. hey, anyone wants to fire away and have fun with it. Now, I'm not saying you should do this. I'm kind of exploring the idea myself, but that would be kind of interesting to see what happens.
But then again, those pictures are now on their cards, and then even if they get something halfway decent, they're going to butcher it with the lack of knowledge of then what to do with it.
I thought I was the pessimist.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not doing it. I'm going to make that statement right now. I'm not doing it. All of it just seems like more worry for me. I'm going to do really, I hope, great photos with my camera that I'm going to post-process and give to them as my present. But after that, I'm done with it. Okay. I just want to put my stuff away in the hotel and just have fun. So the
wedding reception will be at the hotel?
Yes.
That's important.
Yes.
That's important to note, because whenever I go to weddings, or even if I'm there as a guest and kind of somewhat expected to shoot, what do you do with your stuff? We talked about this in the past. What do you do with your stuff during dinner? Like someone's going to dump soup on your flash. That's what ends up happening. And it's annoying because and it's always the situation of they get the table for six and seat 8 to 10 people at it. We're going to jam everybody in.
Yeah.
And so now you're already wedged in, so you don't know where to put your camera, but under the table, you know, and Joe Karate's next to you just booting your bag under the table. So it's no fun. But if you're staying at the same hotel, as soon as you're done, it goes upstairs.
Well, that's it. It'll be easier for me that way to then just draw the line at a point where, like, let's say after the cake cutting and first dance, I just say, yeah, that's it, I'm done. Yeah. And then the stuff goes away. And then if I see something interesting happening, it's not, oh, I can just grab my camera. It'll be, no, it's gone. It's put away now.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's nice to have that.
Yeah.
My other tip for you before we get into what you're taking and how you're taking it is wear a short sleeve shirt when you're shooting.
Because I'm going to sweat.
You absolutely are. In the summertime, I mean, don't wear a tie. You don't have to wear a tie. You're not you're not officiating the wedding.
Right.
And
can I wear a referee's jersey?
I think that would be nice. Considering they would probably like it.
Yeah.
No, go with short sleeve. Definitely go with short sleeve, open neck, because it's going to be hot. And I find it double hot when I'm working, because you're thinking so much and you're sort of trying to be creative, and I end up getting...
I sweat crossing the street.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great.
On a spring day with a breeze.
So that's my recommendation. Now, this isn't a wedding where you're going to pack all your stuff in the trunk of your sedan.
No.
and drive down to, you know, Brockhouse and shoot. So you have to fly cross country.
Yes.
With your wife and two kids.
Well, they're leaving the day before with my parents, so I'm traveling solo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, so maybe I don't think that factors in, but I don't have to worry about carrying anything other than my stuff.
That's actually, that does factor in.
Yeah.
Because I've had to do that on this trip. In fact, I had to travel with all my photo gear and my kids, and they're all their knickknacks and fatty wax.
Yeah,
and
that's so I'm terrible. Solo. I'm good that way. Although on the way back we'll all be together, but getting down there I'm solo.
Great. So now, but the point is, you are somewhat limited by what you can take by the airline.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you taking? What are you limited to? What are the limitations we're dealing with?
I think, again, I haven't actually mapped it out exactly what I'm going to take, but I'm going to take probably.
Let's do that here on the show then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take both camera bodies because I want to have a backup.
Okay, listen, back up one step. How much stuff are you going to put in your checked bag?
Oh, in my checked bag? Yeah. Only probably an umbrella and then my foldable softbox. That's probably the only stuff that's going in.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. The essentials, anything remotely tech goes in your carry-on. Please don't make me repeat that. It bears repeating, but I think you understand. Not you, because you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do not put it in your checked.
Right.
It goes in your carry-on.
It will go bye-bye.
Yeah, you'll be gone. You know, yeah. or lost. I mean, let's assume it's nothing bad. Like your bag just gets rerouted to Honolulu, and next thing you know, what are you shooting your wedding with? Nothing.
Right.
Your iPhone.
Yeah. So I'm gonna bring an umbrella. I'm gonna bring no stands because I just figure I'm gonna have a helper, at least my wife, probably someone else if I need them. Instead of a stand, I'll have the voice activated stand.
Uh-huh.
And so probably check baggage for sure.
Wait a second. So you're gonna bring an umbrella?
Yeah.
I would suggest bringing the umbrella mount.
Okay.
Simply because you can pop that in. Now it's all one piece, so your voice-activated light stand can hold it all basically with one hand if they need
right.
to. That's what I would do. And that is fairly simple to travel
good,
with.
Good suggestion. That'll also go in the checked baggage.
That will go in the checked baggage. Because ultimately, I mean, at $20 or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
it's
not worried about it. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So that's what's going checked baggage. And then I'm going to have my bag, my backpack style sling pack, low pro bag that I'm going to put everything else that I plan on taking in.
Okay.
So two camera bodies.
That's not much.
Two camera bodies.
Two camera bodies fits in that sling back.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two camera bodies. Both will have lenses on them. So on the crop camera, I'll probably put the new Cosina or whatever it is, Tokina, Quantaray, whatever the thing is, 19-35mm lens. So because I want to have that in the ability to take some wide angle if I want a massive shot of everyone from the wedding in front of the building or something. But anyway, so I want to have that. And then I'm going to have the 70-200 probably for the ceremony because I'm going to want some close-ups. And then the 85, those three lenses. So probably the 85 mounted on one camera body, the wide angle on the other camera body, and then the 70-200 pack. So it's got sort of enough slots to do those three. And then on the top kind of compartment, I'll put one or two flashes. I'm not even sure if I really need two flashes, so I'm kind of debating on that because I would like to have less weight in that bag.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see a situation where I might really like to have that second flash, so I'm kind of torn on that one, but that one's still up in the air. Maybe you can...
Which two flashes?
Both of the Canon 430EX flashes.
No question. Bring them both.
Bring them both. Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. And
it'd be very simple to mount them both on the camera in like to bounce them like with the black foamy thing or whatever, and to just quickly fire off like whichever camera you want to use. You want to use the 70-200 or the 19-35. You don't have to switch lenses. Just boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Off
right.
you go.
Yeah, yeah. So and that comes to the next thing, and then just some little accessories like bunch of foam. And then my like little white balance foldable card thingy, and maybe like a couple of gels, and that's about it. No tripod, no.
What
no
for
triggers.
Gels? What are you bringing for gels?
Probably the warming gels, like the
what the half CTO and the quarter CTO. Yeah,
those. I would stop there.
Yeah,
you'll never need the blue ones.
Yeah,
it's like it's not that kind of a shoot. And I find that when I pack everything in the kitchen sink, I feel like I need to use it. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of a stupid way to do it. Now, I mean, like you'd think I'd be experienced enough to not feel that way, but I still feel the need. Okay, I better, if I go on a trip somewhere, I have to wear every piece of clothing I bring to justify bringing it. Now, same with my camera stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, why am I letting the cake blue? That's not good.
Yeah,
But you might need it, to balance a sunset or something like that. Yeah. So the two warming ones, bring it. Stop there.
I'm not even sure about the 70 to 200. I'm not sold on needing that. I did use it in the last wedding.
That is bold.
I did use it in the last one for the ceremony stuff because again, I can kind of for the most part stay out of the way and I can get tighter shots further away. It gives me some leeway as far as again staying off to the side. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure I could do it all with the 85, like the actual ceremony stuff, just by moving around more. So mm-hmm. for the extra weight, and I could honestly see it really depends on how big the church is and where I'm allowed to stand in that or where what makes sense to stand. I could honestly see a situation where if I don't use it in the ceremony, I will not use that 70 to 200 for the rest of it. I just won't.
Possibly. You're probably right. I'm trying to think of when I use – I do use that one – I use that lens quite often and in a wedding, even after the ceremony. Just when you're shooting, it allows me to shoot quickly different setups very quickly. Meaning I can shoot a half cowboy shot, half
where
half their body, and then zoom in for a close-up just like that and get people out of there. Because oftentimes when you're shooting the portrait shots afterwards, my first goal, I'll pretend it's my first goal, is to be creative. But really, my first goal is to get certain people out of there. Okay, you're done. Why don't you head on down to the bar? So that to make my life simple. So in doing that with the zoom lens means bam, bam, two shots really quick.
Mm-hmm.
You can move in. It's not that far to walk in, and move in closer and get that done.
Well, and the difference too being is that f1.8 versus the f4, again, it just gives you all kinds of other control with the light that you've got. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I'm so now comfortable with that 85 on the full frame that I feel like I can get exactly what I want pretty quickly. Whereas with the 70 to 200, again, I honestly think it will slow me down a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does. But it's also one of those things, too, that giving yourself more options will slow you down.
Yeah. But it's at what, 4.5 pounds in my carry-on? Like, it's a weighty item that I don't know the weight, how much it weighs, but it feels like it's, 3 or 4 pounds in that it weighs way more than anything else that I'm bringing. And mm-hmm. so if I'm trying to cut down on the total amount of weight, that's the easy thing to leave behind as far as it will make a huge difference in the weight of my bag.
True. I've never had them weigh my camera bag. You tend to get away with that.
Yeah, I've not had it happen either.
However, you still have to carry it.
Yes.
I haven't got away with that part. So yeah, I think if that was the case, then I would be inclined to bring the 50 mil.
Well, that was my other thought, because it weighs a quarter the weight, maybe less. And my thought is, if I don't bring the 70 to 200, I will absolutely bring the 50. And then just have the three lenses. But again, I won't be able to get in as tight. But I could also flip over the 85 onto the crop sensor camera, mm-hmm. and then easily go back and forth between that and the 50 millimeter on the full frame.
That's generally how I shoot weddings, especially in Germany, where it is usually rather dark. And so F4 is just not doing it. I find I shoot everything between 1.8 and 2. And in that case, I do. I have the 40D has the 85.
You a close up.
Yeah, it's you know what? The trick of it is, the joke of it is that the 85 on that crop sensor is the same as the 85 on the 5
right.
if I just cropped it up.
Right.
It's the exact same photo. Right. However, I need to put the 50 on something.
Yeah.
And so putting the 50 on the crop and the 85 on there gives me the exact same photos. So I flip it and go crop the 85. I got to tell you, considering you're not getting paid,
right.
is your cousin listening to this episode?
Probably not. He's okay. Busy getting married right now, probably going on a honeymoon. By the time this airs,
So not a priority.
Yeah, not a big priority.
He's not listening on the plane to Hawaii.
Probably not.
Okay. No, no. Since you're not getting paid proper, I would say some of the pressure is inherently just off.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't mean you're going to be less professional.
Oh, yeah. No, it will be. Way less professional.
Okay, doesn't mean
I'm going to be drinking heavily while doing this.
I do that on paid wages.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I show up already half in the bag.
Yeah. If you mean not getting paid, I'm getting paid by not buying him any other wedding presents, so I'm getting paid very poorly because I was going to buy him a horribly cheap gift.
Yeah, here's your toaster. You know, and so... No, yeah, when you think of it that way, I mean, you probably would have... I mean, it's your cousin, you spend more, but ultimately, it's a couple of $100 you're getting paid.
Yes.
You know, for an awful lot of work.
A lot of work.
But what I'm saying is, like, I know you're joking, you won't behave any less professionally, and you're not going to phone it in because of that, but I feel like you have a certain leeway to take chances and take risks in saying, I'm going to shoot this with the 85.
Yeah, basically, I have leeway to do whatever I want.
I'm going to tell you right now, leave the 70 to 200 at home.
Okay.
Done. 50, 85, and the super wide, and you're going to have fun with this.
Yeah, sure.
And that way, even if you do decide at some point, I'm just going to keep one camera around, you keep the 6D with the 50 mil on,
mm-hmm.
and just keep that sitting at your table. No flash. I would leave the flash, put everything upstairs in the hotel room. Just keep that camera out. Until it's time to put everything away, and then you're good. You're good to go.
Okay, I throwing around this idea as well because I have some. They've shown me some shots. It's kind of a boutique-y hotel where they're having the wedding, and there's a couple of neat things inside the hotel. Some neat old chairs that again I could. They showed me pictures of that are on like a third floor of the building that I really feel like I could do some cool bride and groom shots.
The Overlook Hotel, is it?
No. I can't remember what it's called. I'll know by the time this airs what it was called. But there is the possibility that I might bring the LED light.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I could do a lot of different things in low light that would be really fun for me. And like I say, different and really easy to use. Doesn't weigh very much. And I have to see first if it will just slide into my camera bag. Mm-hmm. And I think it will. So maybe that. And that's more for me. That's kind of like I want to have a little bit of me play time.
I'm making this a me day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah, yeah. But, you cut the cake later.
But I'm also thinking like maybe too with the getting ready photos of the bride. Like I could do some cool stuff with video light and just don't get the opportunity for cooperation and doing that kind of continuous lighting very often. Mm-hmm. So really kind of want to do it.
Yeah. Are there going to be stage lights? Like what do they have? A DJ? A band?
I don't know.
There's a good chance on the dance floor there'll be some stage lights, and that would be kind of fun to just have that either mounted or just in your hand off to the side, and you get right in the dance floor with that with the 19 to 35. Now, I know you don't want to shoot a whole lot of that. I would shoot some of the dancing with that and get right in with them having fun, and you're going to get some really interesting shots.
That's a good idea.
There you go.
70 to 200 staying home.
Yeah.
LED light in the bag.
Done.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
See you there, Toronto.
All right.
Photo challenge. I don't have one. I was because you. I knew you were kind of whiny about the great outdoors.
The fact that you're setting everything up for yourself.
So this week it can't be my cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
But it can. What do you? What would you like to do for a photo challenge?
Toronto.
The CN Tower.
Yeah. Canada's Wonderland.
Okay.
No, that's
we're really just pushing it.
Yeah.
Now.
Summer phantasmic fun.
Yeah, right.
Summer.
I don't know what that even means.
Majestic beast. You photograph a unicorn.
Oh, I know which unicorn I'm going to shoot.
How about just summer fun? Because we haven't. Have we done that yet?
Didn't we just do summer fun?
Did we?
Or summer water fun?
No, we just did water fun.
Okay.
That was just water fun.
All right, summer just do
fun.
Summer.
In the water.
Not even fun, because summer is fun. That's redundant.
Summer.
Hassle. No, the end of traffic.
Just got robbed.
Yes. Yeah. Take a picture of, just for photograph all your stuff to identify to the RCMP. That's this week's challenge. Yeah. No, summer. Just do summer.
Summer.
Yeah. Summer here, summer there. Boom.
Yay.
That'll joke. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
Two Hosers, Facebook.
Yeah, from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no. Have I posted anything? Not really.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did the old boat.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to what you've been doing.
Yeah, fine, you're busy getting robbed all the time.
Yeah, I was busy. Yeah. Yeah. The part of the thing is there's some certain closure in knowing who took it.
Right.
Even though I don't know, I'm never getting it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing that it was that guy.
Yeah. You know when you say, like, at the end, when I say, where can people find your stuff? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I wish I knew. If you know, let me know. Let me know what crack den. Maybe Rob Ford has it. Check Rob Ford when you're in Toronto.
Okay.
Bet you he sold it off.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, that was a low blow. No, not really. You can find my stuff on AlanEtridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links to everything we talked about in the show and probably some more stuff like Amazon. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.